From the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Joining us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, works for SiriusXM NBA Radio, also does the games in Phoenix for the Suns. That, of course, is former NBA player in Eddie Johnson. And the Sixers have tied up their series at 2 games apiece. Anthony Gargano, the Cuz, will join us at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. And producing our magical extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
I hate when my time gets wasted. And in the last 24 hours or so, my time has been greatly wasted. All this hogwash in the aftermath of Ishbia and Jokic is absolutely ridiculous. It is stupid, and both people are in the wrong, and it doesn't mean every time something wrong happens or any time something goes away from the NBA script that there needs to be a punitive action. And thankfully, Adam Silver and the NBA, and I can't stand Adam Silver. If you listen to this show, you know I call him Spineless Silver, basically elected to do nothing today when Nikola Jokic has a little brush up and a little dust up with the owner of the Phoenix Suns, governor, whatever you want me to call him these days. And the next thing you know, people are like, oh, should Nikola Jokic get suspended? And he wasn't. It was just a $25,000 fine. But I do have a lot of questions from this incident. Number one, I don't get why the Joker was so quickly rushing to go grab the basketball and rip it out of the owner's hand. That's something that doesn't make sense to me. I know maybe trying to get the play to start back up quickly and all that stuff, but the ball was already off into the corner in the stands. Just let the referee run up to the guy that the Joker thought was a fan to go get the ball, and you didn't need to be the one to do that. The other thing, the owner, why are you being such a dope? Why are you being such a doofus in trying to hold on to that basketball? And then you had, we've seen a lot of bad flops throughout the years, especially in the NBA. That flop by the owner was just ridiculous. He should have been ejected from his own stadium because of that flopping. But after the game, there's so many just opinions that are just filled and marinated with jackassery. Oh, the Joker, should he be suspended? I think he should. I don't think he should. He absolutely should not have been suspended. And it would have been such a farce if the NBA would have came out today in a series that is now 2-2 after Denver took it to the Suns in the first 2 games. And finally, Phoenix shows some life in games 3 and 4. Booker and KD just dominate. And you have Landry Shamet, of all people, who had that on their bingo cards, dominate in the fourth quarter. It would have been insulting to basketball fans and insulting to the people that watch the sport if you would have taken one of, if not the best players off the court for game 5 because of nothing. Because he tried to get a ball from an owner who then went on an ego trip and tried to become a player, become a story, and refused to give a ball back. Like, that's what people were losing their mind about in the last 24 hours. It hasn't even been a full 24 hours yet. And I just thank the NBA that they didn't actually suspend the Joker. You knew he was going to get fined. I'm okay with that. But really, there was no harm, no foul. I'm not even irate that they gave him a technical foul in that situation, because as a player, you got to know, even though this is a weird situation because it was an owner, you can't go into the stands, you can't go into the courtside area and try to start something with the fan. In this case, it was an owner. I know people are going to say, well, the owner put his hands on the player first. Just because you commit the first action does not mean you get the brunt of what happens after that. And all this backlash in the last 24 hours or so about what should happen was just flat out stupid. And you knew, like, if you have a brain, you knew there was no way the NBA was actually going to suspend Nikola Jokic. But you never know with these penalties and these ejections and things that we see in the postseason, as round one was basically, let's kick people or let's elbow people in the cojones. And then round two was trying to rip a basketball out of someone's hand and an owner trying to play keep away from one of the game's best players. Another thought that I had on this, and I don't know where you lie on this one, Hickey, but I thought it was absolutely just ridiculous, the seat placement of the owner. Like, you're not on the road. You are in your own building. You're in the Footprint Center. I was there for the Super Bowl, and I saw Dave Matthews' concert there. Nice little venue. That's, you own the team. And you're sitting off in the corner courtside? Like, if I'm an owner, I'm two places. I'm either in a luxury box with all-you-could-eat food and all-you-could-drink booze and all that stuff, or if I'm sitting courtside, which I probably would have liked to do over the luxury box if I had that much money, and also if it was my team, I'm sitting center court. Why was the owner, like, buried off into the corner? I know he's a new governor, a new owner, whatever you want me to call it, so let's not all of a sudden say that he is that he knows everything and how to conduct himself. Clearly he doesn't, like a governor in this league. But you got to know to have better seat placement. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. That's not marinated with sarcasm. When I saw that, Hickey, I said, that's ridiculous with the whole interaction between Jokic and Ashiba. And then also, it was just so stupid where his seat was in that moment. Like, if you own the team, if you're Ishbia, why are you sitting off into the corner? I didn't get that one, Hickey.
I would agree. That seems like one of the worst spots to sit, kind of tucked away in the far corner. Yeah. Where you're either kind of crimping your neck to look one way, everything's kind of further away the other way. Yeah, I like either center court, which maybe you want to have reserved for the high rollers, and obviously I'm assuming because it's his team, the tickets are comp, so you're not, you know, maybe you're losing out on some revenues. So you want to keep that for some big spenders, but then just I'll be posted up on a luxury box, kicking my feet up and enjoying the game.
It would almost be as if you own the movie theater and you got free tickets and you got the first crack at it and you elected to sit in the front row of the movie theater.
Looking straight up.
That's the worst. I would have to go to a neck doctor the next day. I would have to go to a chiropractor as well to just get my neck and my back adjusted, because that's the worst when you go into a movie theater and you have the last pick. Like, let's say you're running late or you're going to the convenience store across the street to try to get your M&Ms and your popcorn to sneak it into the movie theater, or maybe the line was too long at the movie theater, or you just like to be late because you don't know how to operate on time, and you're looking for a seat or two, and you walk into that movie theater, and there's only a seat or two left all the way in the front row. That seat selection yesterday was pretty much being all the way in the front row at a movie theater. But I'm glad to get to the bigger point that the NBA basically elected to do nothing outside of a $25,000 fine. Because, Hickey, it would have just been a joke and a punchline to this NBA season if we had to sit here today and do a four-hour show about Nikola Jokic getting suspended for Game 5. Finally, when this series starts to get good, heat up, and now pretty much it's a best of three series with this being at 2-2. So I'm glad, even though it was a giant waste of time in the last 24 hours or so, and there was just a lot of dumb opinions and dumb takes being thrown out there left and right, that the NBA did the right thing. They felt like they had to do something to get the guy a $25,000 fine, and we keep things moving.
I never actually believed there was a chance Jokic was going to get suspended, but also, too, just to use the playoff logic and how you look at it from a refereeing perspective of we see a lot of physicality go on the court between players and defense now gets more intense, and the referees is always that saying of, you know, it's playoff intensity now and you kind of swallow the whistle more. That's a situation where if it's a regular season game, is Nikola Jokic maybe more likely to get suspended? I would say yes, but especially for the playoffs. Unless it's absolutely egregious where he, again, just... there's no justifying what Nikola Jokic is doing physically, then otherwise you got to swallow the whistle in a sense and let the guys play.
And also, I do think behind the scenes, and you kind of do what's in the best interest of the league, I would imagine Spineless Silver probably showed a spine for like the first time in a long time, got on the phone with Matt Ishbia and was like, you weren't totally in the right either. So put out this statement. Let's get ahead of this because the moment he kind of throws out that white flag earlier this morning, it would have just been so dumb if the NBA would have came out today and suspended him. You didn't know which way he was going to play it because I could have seen him coming out and playing it. Oh, this could give my team an advantage. This guy interacted with me. If this was in the regular season or if this was a fan, he probably does get suspended in Nikola Jokic. So I do believe, like, I don't think it was just genuine. And this guy, he did play at Michigan State or was on that Michigan State team that won a championship back in 2000. So, you know, I think what you saw there was maybe some of the dopey competitive spirits where this guy still thinks he's a player or still a walk-on, whatever he was. And you had that feisty attitude. So it wouldn't have shocked me if he had a little gamesmanship here and didn't go out there and didn't say, oh, Nikola Jokic shouldn't be suspended. But I do think there was a phone call behind the scenes to him. You didn't conduct yourself. We'll just hit Nikola Jokic with the fine. You didn't conduct yourself in the right place. But you got to get ahead of this for the league. Because yesterday, I'm sure the league, even though I didn't think it was embarrassing, probably do view this as an embarrassing moment. So when he released that tweet earlier this morning, great win for the Suns last night, an amazing series so far. That should be and is the only story. Suspending or fining anyone over last night's incident would not be right. I have a lot of respect for Jokic and don't want to see anything like that. Excited for game 5. Go Suns. That was pretty much, in my opinion, the death of any idea of Joker actually being suspended. When you have the team's owner, the other team's owner, come on out and go, all right, let's just put an end to this nonsense.
It's also smart because, again, the last thing you want to do is make this more of a story, right? Now that he's officially not suspended after this show tonight, but even maybe just, you know, even sooner than that, it's not a story anymore. Now it's, okay, game 5, 2-2, let's go. He suspended game 5. That is now the story of the rest of this series. And arguably, depending on how it goes, the story of the rest of the postseason about the Ishbia versus Nikola Jokic incident rather than just putting it to bed and moving on.
Well, if Ishbia did see Nikola Jokic get suspended, if I was the league, I would not have allowed him. And he didn't get suspended. I would not have allowed him in that building. I know it's in Denver for game 5. If the Joker couldn't get in the building, I wouldn't have let the owner in the building as well. Or what I would have done, actually, scratch that. If the Joker did get suspended and he didn't, so now I actually could still use this idea. If I'm the Kroenke family that owns the Nuggets, I'm sitting the Jokic brothers next to this owner. Yeah, you like to be off in the corner, courtside? I will give you that off in the corner, courtside seat. But right behind you, or maybe we'll put you in the second row, and right in front of you, we'll put the Jokic brothers. Let's see how aggressive he wants to get with Nikola Jokic's brother sitting right in front of him.
I guarantee if a ball goes in the stands again, forget about just not holding on to it. He's ducking out of the way and letting someone else grab the ball and say, that's your problem. You go deal with them. I'm not touching that.
If I showed up to a game with Nikola Jokic's brothers sitting in front of me and I thought there was any threat that they would come after me, I would wrap myself in like bubble wrap and wear a helmet because I would not want to mess with Nikola Jokic's brothers. And we'll see how this plays out the rest of the way. Right now, who do you think wins this series? Because the Suns, with CP3 out, look like a better team. Kevin Durant's finally showing up, and he's taking over. Devin Booker is looking like their best player right now. And in the past, he has been compared to Kobe Bryant before, so we'll see if he go get his first championship. I know the Suns don't have a lot of depth, but Landry Shamet was awesome yesterday in the fourth quarter. This series is tied up at 2-2. I thought for sure it would be 3-1 heading back to Denver. I thought Denver would be able to find a way to grab either games 3 or 4. that's not the case. I was wrong on that. It's now 2-2. I'll still take Denver in a best of three here because I think the Joker and Murray will find a way to power through, and I'm not going to assume that they get that third piece outside of Durant and Booker consistently showing up for the Suns moving forward. Where are you at in this series now?
Suns are still my pick. I'll stick with them since I picked them before the series, but I'm still nervous because, again, the Suns' formula to win right now is Kevin Durant be insanely efficient, Devin Booker be unconscious, and then, sure, you did yesterday get what you needed in a third contributor in Landry Shamet dropping 19 points, but is that sustainable for two more games, especially with two of them out of the three on the road? Don't feel great about it, but I'll still go with the Suns.
Oh, so now you're back on the Suns' bandwagon.
Well, never got off.
I have audio that says otherwise.
I was absolutely concerned about it because, again, they showed you know, their style of winning is not exactly great, or I should say not exactly gives you a real sense of belief, but
well, after the Nuggets found out about the Chris Paul injury, and we were sitting here, I think it was right after game two, we were discussing how maybe the Suns, we were kidding when we said this, we're going to get swept in four, and then Suns in four guy would go away, but we were both of the thinking that this was going to be five or six games max. Right when that CP3 news happened. The only reason why I remember this conversation is because someone like called me out earlier today on the cesspool that is Twitter, and they were basically saying to me, oh, you thought the Suns were going to get swept, and I was like, learn how to listen to a little context, and we were joking around, but it seemed like you were finally switching over the dark side of Denver last week, and now you're back with the Suns, so we'll see which way that this series is going to play on out. I don't know, you don't seem that confident, if I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm not. No, I'm nervous. I don't like the, like, again, it's when you have two all-time greats playing at high level, it's great, but to do that twice on the road is still concerning.
James Harden showing up yesterday with the Sixers season on the line. Now that series is tied up at two games apiece because that series would have been over if the Sixers would have gone down and blown that lead and not found a way to preserve that victory, and if this would have got the 3-1 Celtics. Where is the belief level in James Harden? We'll discuss when the Zach Gelb Show continues in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I got to give it up to James Harden. What he did in game one was awesome, but we kind of had to take after that of, all right, he did it in game one, needed a performance like that, but let's see what he does the rest of the series. And then the James Harden of the norm in the playoffs kind of did pop up in games two and three, where you saw him have a combined five shots made from the field in games three and four, games two and three, I should say. But yesterday, with pretty much a season on the line, and Embiid was really good through the first three quarters, but down the stretch did nothing in the fourth and was getting dominated on the defensive side of the ball by Al Horford, James Harden took over. And the reason why the Philadelphia 76ers have a shot in this series now, and it's not 3-1 where it would have been doom and gloom today, is because of James Harden. And I was listening to a little local Philly radio today, and there was actually a lot of backlash directed at Joel Embiid, but this is kind of the way that the Sixers are going to have to win. Like, don't get me wrong, you need Embiid to show more of a pulse in the fourth quarter, but we've been saying this all throughout the year. We've been saying this for the last 5-6 years, that the Sixers need a closer to complement Joel Embiid. It's the same thing in Denver, where Denver didn't have a shot to win a title until Jamal Murray came back and was healthy, because Jamal Murray is their closer. James Harden, whether you believe in him or not, that's a different story, but James Harden is viewed as the closer on that team. And in game one without Embiid, he stepped up and delivered. And in game four with Embiid on the court, who had a good game up until the fourth, and the Sixers basically blew that lead, Harden gets the game into overtime and then wins it in overtime as well. So I got to tip my cap to James Harden, because that's more than what I really expected where we were going into the into the postseason. Now, with that being said, with this now being a best of three, do I anticipate that the Sixers will be a better team than the Celtics in the next two or three games? No. This probably will now go the distance. This probably will go to seven now. And in the biggest of moments, do I expect that James Harden's going to show up and ball out? No, but it's not impossible. Because for me, what I always still have in the back of my mind are some of those performances up against Golden State as the series just went on back when you had Harden with the Rockets. Right, I think like at one point, he missed 22 straight shots from three. The team in that elimination game missed 27 straight shots as well. 27 three-pointers, I think it was. It's like things like that, they're so tough to move past. I know people are going to tell me, oh, Zach, but Chris Paul got hurt in that series. It's just been such an emotional roller coaster ride. If you watch the career of James Harden, where he went from a six-man, right, in OKC, I know he's a third overall pick, and you saw him develop to then becoming a star in Houston. However, the thing that is always synonymous with him has been coming up short in the postseason. So I look at James Harden as this has been impressive. This has been really damn fun to watch games one and four. And they've kept the Sixers in a series that many people thought they didn't really have a shot going in. But I still can't get past games two and three. And since we've seen two games of great Harden and two games of bad Harden, I just kind of expect it's more likely than not that in potentially three games left of this series, we'll see the Celtics' talent win out. But I'll also say this about the Celtics. I did not like how they looked up against the Raptors in the first round. I mean, the Hawks in the first round. And then you've seen also in this series where yesterday they came out flat. The Sixers were dominant. Then the Sixers, even Mazzulla said it. He's like, we can get to a different level defensively. And the next thing you know, in a snap of a finger, when the Celtics wanted to be great, they could be great. And they made a mistake at the end where you leave Harden wide open in the corner for three. And then as far as Mazzulla, I didn't have a problem with the no timeout at the end of regulation in a tie game. That didn't bother me. You go take one shot, you go to win it. And just the Marcus Smart three-pointer didn't fall. But then in overtime, when you're up by one, I would have taken a timeout there. I was surprised that he didn't. But regardless, I didn't get why it took the Celtics so long to try to even attempt the shot. And you also have to credit the good defense of the Sixers. But that, to me, even though I thought there should have been a timeout, when you're down by one, I don't get why you would set yourself up to only get one shot. And they weren't even able to get the shot off. Now, Smart hits it, but it was way after the buzzer. So even though I think the Celtics are going to win this series, and we talk about also the roller coaster ride, the ups and downs, and how much James Harden has vacillated from being great to bad in the postseason, I look at this Celtics team, and I haven't seen them consistently in the postseason so far, and they haven't had to yet, but now they're going to survive this series, have that killer instinct. And when I hear Jaylen Brown after the game basically say, I got to be more aggressive, I got to take over in the fourth quarter, I get it, because Brown could be a number one in a lot of other teams in this league, and you have Jason Tatum, and this is perceived to be his team, I got to see a little bit more aggressiveness from Jaylen Brown as well, because Tatum was not sensational, was the farthest thing from being sensational yesterday. So we have a series, and I never really thought there was going to be much of a series. And as we talk about really the Suns, how they got Landry Shamet to step up yesterday, and Embiid played well for three quarters, Harden was excellent throughout the game, I don't see that third piece coming alive two times for the Sixers, where even if you do get James Harden and Embiid to show up and ball out, you're still going to need that third piece to show up. And Tobias Harris has basically done nothing. He had 9 points yesterday. PJ Tucker, he's not going to score a ton. He's a hustle guy. He's all heart. He got in the ear of Embiid yesterday. That was impressive. Maxey, he could be their third piece. He could be their guy. But if Harden's cooking, I don't think Tyrese Maxey is going to be cooking all that much, because it seems like one shows up and the other one doesn't. So you're going to need someone to just get hot, get streaky to be that third piece. And you're going to need Embiid and Harden to show up two times out of potentially three games in this series. I still think that's a tall ask for a team that you're going up against in Boston, where as crazy as this is to say, with how they were kind of blah and vanilla up against the Hawks, knowing that the Hawks were never really going to take them out in the first round. And so far, it's like we haven't needed them to be great yet. And when you play with fire enough time, eventually you're going to get burnt. But I'm not going to bet against the Celtics, who have owned the Sixers throughout the years in a best-of-three series. But if the Celtics, if they go on to lose this series, you'll look back at yesterday's game, because with how pathetic their performance was early, they still found a way. Like, when it was an 8 or 9 point game in the fourth, I go, this feels like the Sixers should be up by like 16 or 17. And then the next thing you know, boom, the Celtics go, they tie up the game, and they take the lead. If you wait and wait and wait, and you don't play better from the start, you may get burned. But really, I think they showed, even in a loss yesterday, that even when Philadelphia maybe throws you what could be their best, the Celtics, even though it didn't look that way on the scoreboard yesterday, are just still a better team, Hickey.
I'm with you on the Celtics. And the thing why is, even though, yes, James Harden has played great in two games, and those are honestly two more games than I thought we'd ever be saying that about James Harden.
And also the first game was without Embiid, so you knew right. His points were going to skyrocket.
At this point in the postseason, I give him credit. He's hit two game-winning shots, also the tying shot to get the end overtime yesterday as well. So three massive shots, arguably maybe three of the biggest shots he's ever hit in his postseason career, all in the last four games. But with that said, in the two games he's been great, the issue is the other two games he's been terrible. It's not like it's, oh, he's okay or good but not great. He's been flat out horrendous, and he is attributed to losing more than just being a neutral factor. It's kind of like Anthony Davis in a way, where he's kind of all or nothing. He's either all in, dominating and giving you, you know, being the reason why you're winning, or he's going to be the reason why you're losing. And I just don't think you can kind of have a player, your second best player on your team, be that up and down, that mercurial in a series, and expect to win four games.
You look back at this postseason so far, the Heat have been impressive with what they did in round one. I don't think many people thought, even though the Knicks were the better seed, that the Knicks had much of a shot to take down the Heat in round two, or at least I didn't. The Celtics have been frustrating. The Sixers, they can't make a statement until they take down this Boston team, and I don't think that's going to happen. You look at the West, it was Denver who was the most impressive team, with Murray, what he did in round one, and it looked like they were about to blow out the Suns. Now, this series is tied up at 2-2, so let's pump the brakes there and see how this series pans out. We talked about the Suns up against the Clippers in the first round, how that was very underwhelming for a team that was banged up in the Clippers. They knew they didn't really have to go all out to even make themselves really break a sweat in that series. That was over in five games, where they were close five games. You look at Golden State, they could flip that switch in a second. It's a big spot tonight, but really, if the Lakers go up 3-1 tonight, and that's a big if, but if they go up 3-1, the Lakers may be the most impressive team so far with what we've seen in this NBA postseason. Because for the Lakers, it's always been, can you get LeBron and AD healthy at the same time? And so far this postseason, even though there's once a game where Anthony Davis grabs something and you're like, uh-oh, he's going to be done for the rest of the postseason. But this Lakers team, well, I thought maybe their apex was at most just winning one round and that was it. This Lakers team, they win tonight, they go up 3-1. Look out, because then, if they could then quickly take care of business of the Warriors, they could get some rest before the Western Conference Finals. But, geez, this Lakers team, with what Pelinka did at the deadline, was really good. And Anthony Davis has come to play, and his magic number is 29. I know it's bizarre to say, but I did the math today. The Lakers, since he's got there, if he scores at least 29 points, they are 56-19 when Anthony Davis scores at least 29 points, and he's been really good for them. LeBron hasn't even been great yet in this series, and they're showing you LeBron is probably viewed as their best player, with him being the second greatest player of all time, but Anthony Davis is their most valuable. With what we've seen so far, and that could go away tonight if this is then 2-2, and then it kind of feels like outside of Miami, because I do think Miami's going to go up 3-1 tonight, and then it's like, okay, you have a bunch of series that are at 2-2. This Lakers team has really made a statement to kick off this postseason, Hickey.
They've played a lot better than I thought. I thought the Grizzlies would smoke them. Shame on me. Overlooked the Lakers a lot. But they have been impressive. They have. You're getting contributions from D'Angelo Russell, who's been great this postseason. Austin Reeves has played well. They've gotten, you know,
and LeBron knew about Reeves. He knew he was going to be a star.
And that's the thing. Like, LeBron's not really been great at any point this postseason. They're still winning a lot of games, largely on the back of Anthony Davis. But also, you're getting contributions up and down the roster, which is what championship teams do need.
Did you see that LeBron has finally said something truthful about a player?
What is that? No.
He made a prediction.
Oh.
There was a video of LeBron driving around back in the day when he predicted that Steph Curry was going to be a star. He's like, he comes from a basketball family with his father, Dell, and he was talking very positively about one Steph Curry.
Was this when Steph was like a senior in high school before he's even on, you know,
I think it's when he was in college at Davidson, which is still... To predict that the guy was going to be a star still says something, because even though he was very fun to watch in college, you know, there's a bunch of teams that passed up on him in that NBA draft, because he fell to that seventh overall pick when you go back to that 2009 draft. By the way, do you have any idea the six players that went before Steph in that draft?
No, I do not.
Blake Griffin, Hashim Tabeet, James Harden, okay, Tyreek Evans, Ricky Rubio, and then Syracuse's own Johnny Flynn.
Oh, Johnny Flynn. Yeah.
And then it was Steph Curry who ended up going seventh overall. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Could we see a return of Andrew Luck? Oh, this is going to not be a fun segment for Hickey, but we'll get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hickey, I feel like you're usually pretty up to date with this. So sorry if I'm putting you on the spot here. If I had to ask you where the Miami Heat play, do you know the name of the arena? Just wondering.
Yes and no. It's like Kaseya. I think is
Kaseya.
It Kaseya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kaseya Arena.
I think you're right in the pronunciation.
Kaseya later.
If you didn't know that was the name of the arena, what would you have thought the arena was? Because I just found out about this during the break. Where it was like, coming up tonight from however you say the name's arena, I was like, the what arena? And then I saw it was a photo in Miami where the Heat play. What would you think that arena was called?
Well, it used to be FTX before, you know, that crumbled. So
I didn't even know about that. And,
yeah.
And that's what I was about to say, too. I was going to say American Airlines. I knew that stadium's name. And then FTX, I guess this was in 2019, American Airlines said they were not going to renew its name. Then FTX, which we know did not work out all that well and everything, that eventually crumbled. And for a while, it was the Miami Dade County Arena or something like that, whatever it was called. But that was, I didn't even know it had all these name changes, if I'm being honest with you.
Miami, the one thing they are very good at is renaming stadiums. I mean, you had the Dolphins/Marlins stadium renamed 500 times, Pro Player, Joe Robbie. So it's like now it's, you know, they are, hey, you got to have a new name change. They're used to it.
Like, for example, I know the stadium in Los Angeles is now the Crypto Arena, because when we were out there for the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I remember going there and was like, oh, that's, I think it was right when it was happening when they changed the name to Crypto Arena. I will still always refer to that as the Staples Center. And I know
Crypto.com.
Oh,
get it
sorry.
Right. Get it right. You can't forget the .com
arena. Also, shouldn't that be, is that the arena? Did I use that right? Wouldn't you think it's the center? Shouldn't it be like just the way that it flows? Yeah, it is Crypto.com arena. Shouldn't it be the Crypto Center?
Crypto.com center?
Yeah, I guess that's too
a lot
much
of
a
C's.
Mouthful.
Triple C?
I would just lose the .com.
Well, I would also agree. It's very unnecessary, but They crypto's paying for it. They want the .com in there, damn it.
Like I don't know about you. It's a different building. But do you at all still call Citi Field Shea Stadium?
No.
Just because it's a totally different building?
Yes.
But if it was just something that throughout the years just changed names and the actual building was the same, would you think that maybe you would call it by the old name just because that's what you kind of grew up with? It's impossible to keep track of all this stuff.
I don't know what I would do. Thankfully, we have not been in that situation. Like, the teams you root for have not changed a lot of names, which I guess is a weird quirk. But, hey, it's confusing, but I don't know.
Like the Bill Stadium used to be Ralph Wilson, and then it was, like, New Era
Field. For short-lived.
And then eventually, I think it's now Highmark Stadium, but, like, that's impossible to keep track of as well. So, too many name changes. I know why it happens. It's because of sponsorships and naming rights are priced out of the wazoo. But when I saw it was the Kaseya, however you say it, center, I was like, the where?
Do you know what Kaseya is?
Isn't it some like tracking company, security company or something like that?
I probably should know. I have no idea. Like, I know the name of it. I have no idea what they stand for, what their business is.
I think it's some IT or something like that, like some security company or something.
A trust center. Yes. IT. There you go.
Okay. There you go. So somewhat know some things.
Marketing is not exact. Well, at least for me, marketing's not working.
But you know what? I was going to say I've driven past that stadium a lot of times. I haven't driven past in the last few months where I think this just started to take over in April. So it's rather new as well. Anyway, Andrew Luck. The reason why I teased this before the break, like, you're not going to like this story. Even though nothing negative could come out of this for the Indianapolis Colts side of things, I feel as if just the name Andrew Luck is like a girl who once won over your heart and then just totally ripped it out, broke your heart, broke up with you, and you just want to remove that girl out of your mind and your memory. I feel like that's how you are with Andrew Luck. No matter if it's a good or a bad story, and there was some story over the weekend that the Commanders tried to go get Andrew Luck in 2022, and then they eventually somehow found their way to Carson Wentz on ESPN, and now Jim Irsay is tweeting up a storm how if they tried to contact him, it's tampering, you got to go through me, blah, blah, blah. I feel as if at this point you just hope the Andrew Luck story. Now, he's doing everything right. He's been out of sight, out of mind pretty much. And he's did one interview, I remember, with RG3 seeing recently. But for the most part, he tries to stay out of the news and out of the news cycle. But there's nothing you could do if a team tried to go get you. Even if you said no, it's going to become a story. So that's where I kind of feel that you're at with this story. Any mention of Andrew Luck probably makes you cringe at this point.
No, not really. I really know, like, no hard feelings, no ill will towards Andrew Luck. Doesn't make me, you know, have PTSD or flashbacks or bring
back
some...
You said it's one of the worst days of your life. You've said that before.
Well, it was, yes. That was shocking.
So you don't want to hear his
fan.
Name, I would imagine.
No, not really.
Really?
Because, like, I don't blame him. I think he did the right thing. The Colts, like, it wasn't anything he did that hurt. It was the Colts that they did it to themselves. They have no one to blame but themselves. That's why, like, I look at Andrew Luck as a guy I like a lot. I think also maybe not being in the public spotlight makes it a little easier because you rarely hear his name anymore. Instead of him being all over TV and all over, you know, analyzing this and that.
Yeah, like if he was a color analyst for a game, that would probably be tough for you. We sit down on Sundays and you had to watch Andrew Luck.
You know, I've moved on. It happened. He retired. And, you know, the longer you sulk about it, the harder it is to have your franchise move forward and get better.
And I think this is Jim trying to stick it to Snyder one more time, even though Daniel Snyder is selling the team to Josh Harris, or that's like the last that we heard of that. And we all know Jim Irsay does not like Daniel Snyder, and if he was doing something that he wasn't supposed to do, I think Jim wants to maybe get some draft compensation while Dan's walking out the door.
That's right. Free pick, baby. Jim is playing chess. He knows.
Oh, maybe Jim could get a better hair dye situation. I don't know if you've seen the photos recently.
That
could be the worst hair dye job I've ever seen of Jim Irsay. Like, at this point, you're so rich, I don't think you need to dye your hair, but if you're going to dye your hair, what is up with this yellow goo that is on his cabeza? It looks disgusting.
That's the thing. One, he's 70-something years old. You don't need to be dyeing your hair
old.
At that age.
We get it.
We've seen him in gray hair for as long as I can remember, number one. Number two, I mean, it looks like I did it. Like, he looked like he dyed it. Like, he went to, like, the store, got, like, the store brand hair dye, went to his sink, and, like, put it himself. It looks as bad as it could possibly be. You're a billionaire.
When I was a professional. When I was a kid growing up, you remember the frosted tip phase?
Oh, yeah.
So I had, like, blue in the front of my hair.
You got frosted tips?
Yeah, gold as well, blonde and blue. You know, I would go back and forth between that. That looked like he got frosted tips, except he put it all throughout his hair and kind of just did like a spot job. That was horrible. Really bad. Jim, get your picks, but lose the hair dye. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports.